My other Bible. Yeah, did you check that office and see if you see my bag? Am I live? Shalom, everybody. We are back and welcome to Rishon Messianic Bible Club. We are finally back. It's been 2 weeks off, hasn't it, Pastor Ben?
2 weeks, I think.
Am I still on or did I get a... Get over here, Daryl. Come here, Daryl. Okay, come on. Are we on?
We are live.
Okay. This is Daryl. He's from where? Virginia?
Yes, sir.
He's from the slums of Virginia.
That's right.
No, he's not. But yeah, he came down and visited on Sunday, and we had a good time.
Yep.
Church and everything, and we were supposed to have lunch today, Chick-fil-A. So I was expecting to hear from him yesterday, but I'm glad you're back today. So we'll have lunch today.
Excellent.
Thanks for taking a long flight now. I'm glad you got to see your daughter here, too.
That's right.
And awesome. Look at this cool shirt. Creationism is not, see that red? Fiction. You understand? Because God created all things. Thanks for coming, buddy. God bless you, man. God bless you.
Thank you.
All right, here we go. We got to address a couple things before we get into this. First thing I got to address is I get all these beautiful cards. I got a card from Doug, okay? And Doug's in Ohio. He's in your town, Pastor Ben. I haven't got to read it yet because I just received them today. And I got a from Sierra. And she's in Hawaii. That's our Hawaii crew.
Amen.
And so I have your letter here, which I will read when I finish up here today. And then Carrie Oates, I hope you're watching this, okay? I don't want you to blame Pastor Ben.
Please blame
me. And I'm going to call you when I get home because that check that you sent 2 million years ago. Well, it couldn't have been 2 million years ago because we only been here 6,000. But it was a long time. Anyway, Pastor Ben found it. And I need to call you after service about this because he doesn't know what to do. And and then I got another card here. And this card is from Terry. Okay? And so... I'm going to read all of this, and I'll get back to you guys. If you're not on my Facebook, I want you to get... I can't tell people to get a Facebook account because, you know, if they are watching us, Facebook is a great way to do it. So I don't want to set you up. But if you're not scared, I'm on Facebook, and it's very easy for me to talk to you if you're on Facebook. Because, you know, if you got Facebook, you got my phone number. You can call me on Facebook. It's like, I didn't know that. I was like, wait a minute.
Everybody got your
yeah, how you get my number? I approved you for Facebook, not to call me at home. So here we are. I want to pray first. I'm going to pray before we even address issues, okay? Because I want the Holy Spirit to be with me, and I don't want things to come out of my heart because sometimes I can be kind of a football player when I do things kind of too aggressive. Okay, here we are. We got a lot to get into, so I hope we'll really enjoy this. Okay, let's say the Lord's Prayer. First, I want to say shalom to everybody, and welcome back. Welcome back to Bible Club. We're going to go over quite a bit of Hebrew today and a lot of Jewish history today. Because we want to see how precise God is. And we're in the harvest season of the wheat harvest, and I'm truly expecting to be gone, or else I have to go over 16 years of studying and go, what happened? So here we go. Avanu Shaba Shabaim Yit Kadeshim Ha. Tavo Melchuteka Yi Ase Rotzanacha. Be Aretzke Asherne Asa Beshamaim. Tilano hayom lechem hukeno, usilach lanu et ashmitenu, ke ashir solechem anachnu le ashir ashmilanu. Vial tevienu le demasa, ke im hatzilanu min hara, kilacha, hamamlecha, vehagivara, vehatif eret, leolame, leolamim. Amen. And we just ask the Lord that his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want to address some people were really upset that I said that Trump is doing a good job, because I know that the media is doing a great job on a lot of people to make you hate Trump as much as they hate Trump. And the people who control mainstream media hate Trump because he's shutting down a billion-dollar, and I'm going to say a multi-billion-dollar industry worldwide. One of those industries is drugs, and he's shutting that down. And he's still trying to get the border wall up. He's got maybe a few miles done or something, but, you know, without the funding that he needed, he's really trying to get the border wall, because that is causing a lot of drugs to come into the United States. And it was also a mainstream for child pedophilia that was going on in Arizona area, and also throughout the world. So a lot of pedophiles are being arrested. A lot of pedophiles are going to prison. DOJ under the Broken Heart, Operation Broken Heart is what they're calling it. It is a project that is what he ran on, because before he ran, he said, our administration is committed to bringing an end to human trafficking around the world, okay? And he just said United States, around the world. And then on another quote after that, he said, we have to do something about these perverts who are grabbing children. We hope that we catch them all. He says, I hope that it's a quick trial and a quick death, because he is really upset about this child trafficking thing that's going on. I still have to find the video, because I was really on the hunt back in 2017. But there was a young lady that that had went to she was being trafficked, and she went to a place where they were purchasing these women, and she said, and Trump was there. And so everybody got on and said, how could you say Trump was there? Da, da, da. And then she said, people started cursing at her and being angry with her so much that she just cut off the line. But she said next day she came back and said, because people got so angry because I said he was there, they didn't get to hear the rest of my story. He purchased me, took me out, gave me the funds to fly home to my parents, and freed me from what I was going through. Okay? Now, you're not going to hear that on mainstream media. You're not going to hear about the black woman that's living in Trump Tower who was homeless for free, and they caught her in there sleeping in Trump Tower. And instead of Trump saying, get that homeless black woman out of my building, he said, no, let her stay and make sure she has three meals a day. And she's been living there for 8 to 9 years. And you can go on YouTube. She did the video without Trump or anybody understanding or knowing that she did the video. But it's out there, okay? I don't want to make Trump an angel, because he's not an angel. He was a young guy with a lot of money, and you can have a lot of problems. But I'm saying whatever reason God has him in there now is serving his purpose, because a lot of people are getting arrested, and he's trying to do the right thing. Like I say, if you're pro-choice, you're pro-life, and if you're pro-life and you also arrest over 5,000 pedophiles, you become my president, okay? And we'll handle the rest. But so I just wanted you to know that there are reasons why. Now, I know you guys don't really understand what's going on. You don't understand the Julian Assange arrest and how that's going to help in the arrest of other pedophiles, because Julian Assange is an ocean of information, right? And you don't understand how Julian Assange being transferred from overseas to the United States helped the DOJ to bring down Epstein. So you don't see the undercovering, but there's a guy in the White House that's playing chess. And if you just keep praying and watch what's going on, you'll see the checkmate. okay? And I think the rapture will happen before, but he has definitely slowed up and arrested and freed a lot of children and women from child pedophilia and trafficking throughout the world.
Amen.
600 with the fake doctor that Oprah Winfrey made famous.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
600 he has freed from over there, and he had them in a farm system having children to keep the children in the farm in the pedophile business. So, and that was running for years. Until the DOJ went in and arrested that and freed 600. So listen, if you hate Trump because you don't like his hair, that's one thing. but if I have a president that says, that has people, that has Christians coming to pray for him in the White House, some people say they're not the good Christians though.
They're not the good ones.
They're praying, and I heard them in the prayer in Jesus' name. Okay, I don't know how good they are or not. I don't trust any of them, but they're praying in Jesus' name. He has them come to pray for him, and he's pro-life, and he's arrested over 5,000 pedophiles. You're my buddy, okay?
Amen.
Just off that fact alone. So if you still don't like him, that's fine. I'm still praying for him and cheering him on to keep getting people arrested who are doing horrible things in the world. Okay, I'm hoping that Hillary and Bill are the next.
Amen.
Okay.
Pamela wants to know, which doctor are you talking about? Are you talking about Dr. Phil?
No. Look on with Oprah Winfrey. Oprah Winfrey had promoted this guy who was a self healer. He was a guy that said he was a miracle healer, and he had a whole complex somewhere overseas that he had said that he was. It was a hospital, and he was healing people miraculously. So he had Clinton go over and confirm that he was actually a healer, and Oprah went on and confirmed he's really actually a healer.
Really?
And you know, the people that are involved in pedophilia that are famous went over and said, yeah, he is a healer, just to make sure that he's validated so that he could keep this farm system of producing children to keep into the child pedophile rings. Well, anyway, he's arrested, he's in prison, and all the people that were living in that complex have been free to go back to their families and start new lives with finances and everything that they've done to help them. So, I don't know. I'm just...
They want to know, did you find out who the author was that predicted the earthquakes?
His name is Dutch Sense. That, just type in Dutch Sense, like making sense. Okay, Dutch Sense. He predicted both earthquakes before they happened. And they say this guy has a system of predicting earthquakes before. Now, a member of our church, Antoine, he called me and told me, you got to look this guy up, okay? So I looked him up, and he's been predicting earthquake, and he has a system. I don't know if whether he's a Christian or not, but some people that are over this earthquake prediction thing are really upset with him because of the work that he's doing. And they don't want him doing what he's doing. But he has predicted that, he predicted both California earthquakes that we just experienced, and he's predicting another one coming to California that's supposed to be a little bit bigger. And if it's bigger than 7.1, then I think we better be in prayer. And I just hope it comes after we fly, because if it's shaking while I'm flying, I don't care.
I found the link of his Facebook, and I put it on.
Okay, good. Dutch Sense. All right. So this is Pastor Sandy Dutch Sense. If you got that promotion, because he is thanking people for making his website known, because he wants to warn people of these coming things that are happening in the world. Okay. Last night's message was called Rapture Dilemma. We didn't talk much about the rapture, only about the part that this spirit of anti-rapture, and I call it a spirit, it's a spirit of anti-rapture or confusion over the rapture that Satan has released out into the Christian world, because he does not want the church to be aware of the rapture, okay? So like a friend who was the Satanist who accepted Christ during the service, he said they have assignments,
Duke,
to go out and confuse Christians about the rapture. because Satan doesn't want Christians to believe in the rapture, a pre-trib rapture. So one of his jobs was to find these sites and to make sure that he brings confusion to the rapture, whole set rapture scenario. And that's what he was doing the night he met us and found Christ. Okay? So the rapture scenario is what we were talking about, or the rapture dilemma, okay? Because of May 14th, which would have been spring, so we would have had a wheat harvest during the spring, which really wouldn't have equaled out to Scripture, because Ruth got married at the end of the wheat harvest. And if Ruth is a structure of Boaz being Christ and Ruth being the Gentile church, then that wedding happened at the end of the wheat harvest, and we are in the midst of the wheat harvest. So I'm looking for a rapture very soon.
Yes.
If it happens, hallelujah, let's dance. There's plenty cloud for all of us.
Yes.
I'm ready, okay?
Amen.
There's a whole big thing about the July 17th rapture. And people are like, have you read it? Have you looked at it? I haven't looked at anything concerning the July 17th date. And people say they have plenty of material and reasons why, and this is it, and add the 5 and drop the 12 and all of this stuff. But I understand that the 17th is in the framework of the wheat harvest. So I'm all for it. OK, that's all I can say. I don't have time to watch a 2-hour video, but I'm all for it because it's within the wheat harvest time frame. OK. Excuse me. And now I want to.
Did you get your water?
Yeah, sitting right there. I'll get it in a second. OK. Now, remember the board from Sunday, the board that we did from Sunday? You only have to see it for a second. Because what I want to talk about today is not this board, because if you want to, you can go back and look at that video. But I wanted you to know the extreme intelligence that comes into play with God in establishing Israel as a nation, okay? Because what this board does, it says that if this better sheet, because these are all the letters for Genesis chapter 1. If God went through the intelligence of saying the first verse that I speak has to include the Star of David, okay? And how am I going to do it? Why? Through wisdom, okay? Which is numerical value 37 or 73. Now, the whole numerical value of Genesis 1 is 2701, which happens to be the two numbers in Hebrew that make up wisdom, okay? 37 times 73 is 2,701. So God says, now I got my triangle down toward men. Let's flip it upside down. And so you turn these letters around, and it gives you wisdom again, 3773. So plus Genesis turned backwards on itself gives you wisdom once again. 1072, 2701 equals 3773 back to wisdom, which is 37 times 73, which is Genesis chapter 1. Now, how God does this, I don't know. I'll ask him when I get there. But it's amazing that he did this so that you can see, because 28 letters is the seventh triangle in geometry, okay? 27 units make up the seventh triangle, okay? Three would make up the second, right? 1, 2, 3. That makes up the second triangle in a triangle. This here, 3, let's see, 4, 5, 6. 6 makes up in a third. So then you can continue counting, and you say God used 28 letters because it makes 28 letters making the seventh triangle. So therefore, now God can do with that geometry what he wants to do. And what does he want to do? He wants to display the shield of David, okay? The Megan David. Now, this was told to be put in the temple when God had the temple built. And so they put this symbol in the temple, and the Freemasons or the Luciferians believe that this symbol has some type of magical power, okay? That's why they want the temple rebuilt. Or that's why Satan is lying to them, telling them you have to get the temple rebuilt because we'll put this symbol in it I'll be able to give you resurrection and give you eternal life. So they think that building the temple will produce eternal life for people who are Luciferians. Wow. And they believe Satan, and they forgot the whole thing that he's the father of lies. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's what's going on with that. But I did this only to show you that even when you spell out the name Israel, okay, 541, which is the same numerical value, if you did this whole geometry thing, if you made the 10th Star of David, it would be 541 units, okay? And so the numerical value for Israel, when you spell it out, is 541, which just lets you know, what is 10 in the gematria? What does that mean? Perfect order, okay? So the Star of David, that is the perfect order, is 541, the 10th Star of David, okay? And so God did this, why? To show you that his intelligence goes beyond ours, that he wrote a book, and while he's writing the book, he's also doing geometry and math at the same time, and pre-establishing Israel in the first verse. Now, we know everything else that Genesis pre-established, because we know that Bereshit means what? Reshit means first fruit. Then we have the word sun. We have tree in Bereshit in just the first word, okay? We have tree in Bereshit. We have thorns written within the one word, Bereshit. So you have all these words. So he also tells in the very first word, the whole gospel of Jesus Christ, that his son will be the first fruit on a tree with thorns on his head. This is a gift to man. It's all in the word, one word, Bereshit, okay? So understand that God has already told us history before it happened, and he started it in Genesis chapter 1. Now, I did all that to do this. Let's go back over here. And he was like, are you still trusting in the rapture? Definitely 100%. You know why? Because if somebody tells you the sun is coming up at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, and it doesn't come up at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, it's okay. It's still coming up. You understand? It's still coming up. It's done it for 6,000 years, and it's not going to miss. And when Christ comes back, you'll see it again.
Yes. Get a clean shot of the board.
Okay.
So don't move. Just stay.
All right.
I'm gonna get a clean shot of the board.
Okay. If you, some of you guys have the Rashan Messianic Bible College material. This is in our material.
Just another couple seconds. Yay.
In a message that we did concerning the Star of David.
All right.
Because I got tired of people writing me and telling me that, doesn't he know that's a pagan symbol? So we went through the math so you can see if it's pagan, then God's wisdom is the one that created it. Yeah. And it's the same people that say, oh, the cross is a pagan symbol. Well, let's look at where the southern crux came from, because it's been sitting there since the fourth day of creation.
Amen.
And that was before any man. So if that's corrupt too, then you have to ask yourself. All right. Because I don't want Satan lying to you and you believing it.
Right.
Okay. Question was asked to me today, and I forget that question, but it had, someone said, it doesn't make sense that God could have made the earth and then not made the sun till the fourth day, when you need the sun for the life of the earth to be sustained. I say, the Bible says that God created the earth first, and he didn't create the sun till the fourth day. Rather, it makes scientific sense to you or not, it is not of my concern, okay? Mm-hmm. I would like to know if you made the sun and the moon on the fourth day, then how did you have three 24-hour periods before you got to the fourth day? Okay? I would like to know that. If you have questions, but I'm not going to question God and tell him, well, it's impossible for you to have done that because of this, because I wasn't there. I didn't create anything, right? So I'm just letting you know. But the Son, Jesus Christ, came into the world in the 4,000th year, which a day is like 1,000 years to God, right? So therefore, the Son actually appeared on the fourth day in the earth, which is Jesus. So it's all the same thing. You understand? He was just showing you a structure of what he was going to do later. He was prophesying about his future son that would come on the fourth day. So send that to the scientists and see if they can figure that out.
But someone online would say, if God was there, he lit everything up anyway.
Kaduh,
Kaduh. He's the light.
Doesn't it say that he said, and God said, let there be light. Well, let's use this to value days until we make a sun. He could have done that.
Right.
I don't know. I'm having fun with the word of God because it amazes me how much smarter he can be than me. How did I miss that? Okay, here we go. I'm going to talk about some things here. First thing I want to talk about is Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9 and 10. So let's go there real fast. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9 and 10. And we should all know this, but I want us to understand this because I'm waiting on a rapture, and I think that this is the absolute perfect time, since Israel is now has passed their 70th year and moving into 71. And Joseph died when he was 71 after his brothers had already passed. So, and I'm just looking for that this being a perfect time because it is the wheat harvest season. Okay, and the church is wheat. We can go over that, but that would take another study. Okay, so if you're in verse 46, then are we going to read verse 9, right? And that is right here. Nope. I am God, and there is no other. Wow. It's impossible for God to lie. So there is no other God, okay?
Amen.
All right? I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning. Okay? So in the beginning, God created the Star of David.
Right.
He's letting you know in the beginning, the end. Okay? So he's preaching to you the end when?
From
at the beginning. Because that's why I'm going to make Bereshit have the sun on the cross, thorns on his head, a gift to man. I'm put it in the first word because I'm going to tell you before the whole event happens. So he says, I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. And I say my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. Okay. So he says, my purpose will stand. One of God's purposes is that his son has a wedding. Okay. Where did we get that purpose from? He says all his purpose will stand. One of his purposes is that the son that he has that is born into the world is going to have a bride. How did we get that? Because God gave us a typology telling us the end in the beginning. Here's my son, Abraham. Here is his son, Isaac. I'm telling him, take his son to Mount Moriah, the same mountain that's going to be called Calvary when it really happens. And now he's going to be, and on his way to the 3-day trip to Mount Moriah, he's going to carry the wood, and Abraham's going to carry the utensils to kill his son, right? But the son is always going to carry the wood. So he's pre-telling you Jesus' story in Abraham's story. But one of the things that we don't, that we forget, that on the third day when he said, don't crucify him, because he tells Abraham what? I am going to appear as the Lamb myself in the future. So since he's telling that he's going to appear, so now it says Abraham went back home with his servants, but it never said what happened to Isaac. Did they untie him? Did they bring him back with them? We assume that. But the scriptures never show that they untied him and they took him back. They didn't. You don't hear about Isaac again until when? Until he's sitting in Baal-hi-roi and they bring his bride.
All right.
Okay, so his name gets erased. After that, it seems like he disappears. The next time you hear about him, he's receiving his bride in Baal-hi-roi. Okay, now, the other thing you need to know is that this event of his son being married, between you seeing him get married, you see him have a conversation with Eleazar, right? And he tells Eleazar to go to this land and get a bride for my son. So you see God is planning what? The end in the beginning. Okay, and he tells Eleazar, which is the same word for helper, he's telling the helper to go and get a son, a bride for my son.
Yeah.
So Eleazar goes and he meets the bride and he convinces the bride to come back and marry the son. The same thing he's done with all of us, okay? Yeah. Now he takes the bride, he lifts her up from the earth, puts her on the camel, and he takes her back to the son. When he asked Abraham, shall I take your son back there if she doesn't want to go? He says, no, do not take my son back there. You bring her here.
Yeah.
Okay. So this has been planned when? Since the beginning.
Yeah.
All right. So the rapture is not some idea that we came up with. The rapture is the idea that God implanted. And he says, my purpose will stand. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that the purpose of God is not going to go away. Okay? Now, God's other purpose was to choose a people out of the earth.
Yeah.
To choose a people out of the earth. Who is he going to choose? He's going to choose a nation called Eber, which is in Hebrew, but is Hebrew, which is the word for crossover,
mm-hmm.
meaning that I'm going to use this race of people to cross over from heaven to earth so that I can successfully do the plan that I'm planning. Okay, so Eber begins to have children. And he has Peleg and he has this. And then God divides Peleg from the other son. And he brings the whole line to Jesus Christ through Peleg and through this other line of Hebrews. And then Jesus Christ is born through their line. And then God is doing what? He's fulfilling his purpose. Because his purpose was what? Not only am I choosing a people, I'm choosing those people for a purpose. And what's the purpose that he's choosing for? To have a son. Because that son is going to have a bride. The other reason I'm choosing that son to be an olah offering, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because God has already said to Abraham when he showed him the stars, it says, Galatians chapter 3:8 says what? He preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand.
Yeah.
So in showing Abraham the stars, he said, this star constellation is the Lamb. That is me. I will be the olah offering in the future. And that offering will take away the sins of man described to us in Isaiah 53.
Yeah.
So this is all God's plan from where? From the beginning.
Wow.
Okay. From the beginning, my son's going to have a bride. That son is also going to be an olah offering. He will be the firstborn son, okay, into the world. That means God begotten him through a virgin. God brought him into the world, okay?
Man.
I'm going to show you one thing because my good friend, and I have to get, he's in heaven, but he might hear me. And if I steal his material, he'll probably say, you see there, he's using my book. I showed you guys this book. I always cover up the swastika because I don't like it. But J.R. Church wrote this book. If you want to know the history of Israel, a complete history of Israel from 1901 to the present day, this book is the book you read, okay? Now, I want us to turn our Bibles to Exodus chapter 4, verse 22. Because what I'm trying to show you is this. Look, it doesn't matter what the mockers say. The word is solid.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what they say. The word of God is solid, okay? Watch this in Exodus chapter 22.
Exodus chapter 4, verse 22.
So God is talking to Pharaoh, and he says, then say to Pharaoh, go tell Pharaoh this, he says. Then say to Pharaoh, this is what the Lord says. Israel is my firstborn son. And I told you, let my son go so that he may worship me. But if you refuse to let him go, I will kill your firstborn son. So God tells what? He tells Moses, go and tell Abraham to release my people because they are my firstborn son. Are they the first begotten? They didn't come through a woman,
right?
But they are his firstborn son. We have to be born through the water,
yes,
and born of the Spirit. Was Israel born through the water? They crossed over the sea, and in the New Testament said it was like a baptism. It determines that to be as a baptism. Like our baptism, they went through the sea over to the other side and were brought out of slavery. So they've had a water baptism in symbology. Did I say that word right?
Symbolic.
In symbolism, okay, or whatever.
Symbolically.
I play football. Okay, so you got to show me some slack. So now, as a symbol, they go through the water as being birthed out of slavery into freedom as being God's people,
right?
Okay? Have they had, but we have to be born of not only of the water, but we got to be born of the Spirit. So our baptism, also, we've accepted Christ and we've also been born of the Spirit. Israel won't receive that spiritual rebirth until Christ returns. So they've been born of the water, but when Christ returns, he's going to give them, he's going to pour out his Spirit. Then they will be born of the Spirit. Then we can all say we've all been born of the water and we've all been born of the Spirit. And so that's what is going on. But God is setting all of these things up to show you I'm in control. This is my book. I wrote the story. You know what I mean? Even I told you many years ago that there would be 10 virgins. They would go out looking for the Messiah. I told you what you would do.
Yes.
All of you, every one of you, you too, Pastor Sandy, you're bald-headed. Yeah. You too, I told you, you would all end up falling asleep because you're going to go out there with expectations that I'm coming and it's going to seem like I'm not coming and you're all going to fall asleep.
Yeah.
But he says, while you're sleeping, sleep prepared.
Yes.
Because when I come, your lamps have to be already trimmed.
Amen.
So when he comes at a day that we do not know, the horn will blow and all 10 will wake up. Only half will be ready and the other half will not be.
Yes.
And he'll take the ones that are ready into the wedding feast and the ones that are not ready will be left. Okay?
Hallelujah.
So he's telling you the rapture scenario all the time. We started in Genesis and he's still telling you a rapture scenario all the way up to the current date. He's telling you, be prepared, be ready. I'm coming. I'm taking you. I'm perlambanoing you out of the world. I'm taking you, perlambano, receive you, take you. He uses the same Greek word, perlambano, which means to take you as a friend or a companion. Okay?
Yeah.
So he's taking us as a friend or a companion out of the world into the kingdom of God. And it tells you, in Luke chapter 21, I believe verse 34, 36, it tells you to be careful that you are worthy because this event is going to come upon the whole world.
Amen.
So you be ready, be ready and be careful and be watchful that you are ready and worthy to stand before the Son of Man. Because why? An event that's coming over the world, he says it's going to come over the whole world at one time. What? Because when the rapture happened, it's going to affect the whole world. Then you're going to see what we talked about last night. You're going to see that Nephilim really do exist.
Yep.
And there are, you know, lizard people. And you're going to see that the world is not what you thought it was. And it's what God said it was, yep, that you never listened. And we told you there were Nephilim in the world. We told you they're playing with DNA. We told you that they're trying to get a chip in you. We told you all of this. When the church is gone, you will know that everything that the scriptures was trying to tell you concerning your spiritual life and how to govern it and how to keep it safe was true, what God was telling you.
Pastor,
okay?
Hogan wants to know, what does it mean to be worthy?
Worthy is you're in relationship. Okay? Worthy is you're in relationship. Say if you're some crazy Christian that's like, you know, well, you're not crazy, but you're trying to stop doing something. Like, I'm trying, Lord, to stop this behavior. I'm still smoking like Bobby was here. I'm still smoking. I really want to stop. I don't know if smoking is one of the big sins or whatever. But he says, I didn't feel the Holy Spirit kept convicting me about smoking. And he says, I was trying to stop. I was praying every day, Lord, forgive me. I need to be delivered from this, right? And finally he got delivered. But what if the rapture would have happened before he got delivered? Okay, he was in relationship. Why was he in relationship? Because he was in discussion with God, in repentance with God over the situation. He wasn't doing it and telling the Holy Spirit, don't tell me what to do. I do what I want. Okay, because sometimes you're in a sin and you need deliverance from the sin, and God is in the midst of delivering you. But in the midst of it, you have to be in repentance. You can't be in denial. Because if you're in denial, you're calling God a liar. Because 1 John 1:9 says that if you confess with your mouth your sins, and he says he will forgive you and cleanse you from all your unrighteousness.
Yeah.
So once we confess, what are we doing by confessing? We did this study 2 weeks ago. We're bringing an offering to God,
yeah,
by the fruits of our lips. I'm wrong in this area. I need help. That makes us in relationship. So the qualification of being worthy is that you're in relationship. The qualification that makes you not worthy is, I know I'm not married, but I'm going to live with her anyway. And God, you're just going to have to understand.
Wow.
Really? So you're telling me to come down to your level. You're not going to repent and try to come up to my level. It'd be better for you to repent and then for me to try to help you get out of it and you be in continual repentance than for you to tell me and tell the Holy Spirit, stop talking to me about it. This is the way I am. You know? And so that's what makes you in or out of relationship. Did I? I hope I gave you a good enough answer on that.
Right.
And it wasn't too long. Okay. Okay. So the Lord has Israel go through 400 years of mistreatment. He tells them it's going to be 400 years that they'll be mistreated and in slavery. In Canaan, they were mistreated and in slavery, and they were in slavery in Egypt. So that whole ordeal lasted 400 years. Okay. He said the land would, Deuteronomy, if you have a, I have a Torah, if you counted all the scriptures in Deuteronomy up to Deuteronomy chapter 5, it would be the 5,708th verse of the Bible, which equals out to 1948 on our calendar, but 5708 is the year for the Jews. So I want to know, when God wrote Deuteronomy, how did he know that that would equal out to the year 1948? Because there had... Jesus hadn't been born, so that there was no actual 1948 after Jesus yet. But he said, okay, this is the 5,708th verse. And what does it say in the 5,008th verse? I'm going to bring you back to the land that your fathers once owned. I'm going to bring you back.
Hmm.
Right? The crazy thing, they haven't even went into the land yet. He's telling them in the beginning, the end, right? He says, I know you don't even know what Israel is, but you're going to get kicked out, and but I'm going to bring you back in 1948, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so in year 5708, he brings them back to the land. It happens to be the year 1948. But to let you know that he's going to know both calendars, he has Abraham's father begin to father his three children. Terah begins to father his boys and Abraham in the 1948th year. So he's like, okay. And now he's saying, look at this. I'm going to make 68 books. The 19th book I'm going to make as a prophecy, which is what this book is all about, the 1900s when it started. And he said, the 19th book, then in the 19th book, in the 48th chapter, I'm going to put the rebirth of the nation of Israel there. But wait, I made 68 books. So even though Psalms is going to be the 19th book, let's count backwards from Revelation and you'll see to Psalms it's the 48th book. So he situated this chapter to tell the story of what? 1948.
Wow.
So who is it that can say to me, you need to stop believing in what God has purposed, which is a marriage for his son, because people have been talking about that marriage for a long time and it hasn't happened. So therefore, you need to stop talking about it and stop being excited about it and just live a lukewarm Christian life like the rest of us. Mm. I'm not going to do it. The marriage is what keeps me on my toes because I understand that God is coming for his bride. And when he comes, the 10 virgins have a mandate. And that is to what? Be ready.
Yeah.
So no matter whether he comes today or tomorrow or next week, I only have one job. Be ready.
Yeah.
And so that's what keeps me excited. And then each day is joyful for me. You know why? Because each day is the opportunity that a wedding's going to take place.
Yeah.
And tell me, if you want to say, I live in purpose. I study psychology at the University of Colorado. Mental health is always rooted in one thing, lack of hope. All mental health, when it goes to that bottom level, is because a person lost hope. Okay?
Mm.
We have a blessed hope that God says that we're supposed to, that it is our blessed hope until he comes. So that hope every day invigorates me. It makes me like he's coming, you know. We have this date planned and it invigorates me and makes me spiritually want to be strong to be ready because I want to experience that. I want to go to the cloud party. I want to be at the crowning ceremony.
Yeah.
When everybody's taking off their crowns and throwing them at Jesus' feet, I don't want to be on earth trying to just standing in line to get my chip.
Amen.
I want to be in heaven. You know what I mean?
Amen.
So how can you take this hope from me because you're saying, oh, well, you know, you Christians that believe in rapture are just crazy. I think that anybody that doesn't focus on the fact that Christ is coming and that you have to be ready, I think they're crazy.
Yeah.
Because lukewarm is just a state of complacency.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be that. Okay.
I want to know what you meant by 68 books.
66 books. I don't know 68 books.
Oh, because you said 68. But
did I say 68? Yeah. Yeah, I meant 66. Gilgal in Hebrew is a word 66, which means the will. So the completion of the will is always 66.
Amen.
Okay. So the 66 books, God situated them. Okay.
Perfect.
Now, was there one more thing I wanted to tell you? Oh, he marked it in 1948. Okay, the Babylonian thing came out in 70 years. I'm not going to ask God about that no more because the Lord said, don't ask me about that because you are a man and you don't understand everything. So I don't know why we didn't leave before 1948, but I'm not asking God anymore because he says, you're a man. And he gave me the same answer as Ezra gave Ezra. He said, if you can tell me how to bring back a day that just passed and how to measure out a pound of fire, then I will tell you why you haven't been raptured yet.
Wow.
Okay? There are some things that human beings just don't know because you are human and you're in this realm, right? But don't be like, start questioning God, like saying it's impossible for you to create the world before you create the sun. That's what I did, and that's what I said that I did. So if you don't want to agree with me, then you're done agreeing with me. But it's not based on what I said I did. It's not based on truth. It's based on what you're saying that the scientist said would it be impossible to do.
Mm-hmm.
And who cares what the scientist says if you're God?
Okay.
Ask them how to bring back a day that just passed.
Right.
Ask them how to weigh out a pound of fire. You know what I mean? Or gather a bundle of wind and take it to the and take it into the kingdom. Tell them like all these things that Uriel said, like God told me to ask you these questions.
That's in Ezra.
Yeah, in Ezra. He says, God told me to ask you all these things. And if you can answer one, I'll tell you why God has the Jewish people in slavery right
just
now.
Just one of
he
them.
He said, just answer one of them. And I'll let you know. Let me put that back. So I'm not going to keep asking God, but I'm going to do what it says in. And this is what we're going to finish on. Psalms chapter 27. And that 5 minutes, we're going to learn something, I believe.
Psalms 27.
Psalms 27 is one of the most beautiful psalms, I believe. I love this psalm, and I love it because of the way it starts, and I love it because of the way it ends. Okay? The beginning of Psalms 27 says, Adonai the Yishi, God is my Savior. Adonai Ori the Yishi, Mimi Ira, God is my Savior.
Yes.
And my light. Whom shall I be afraid? Okay? Let me read it. I haven't got to it yet. I just know it in Hebrew. Here it is in English. Okay. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Mimi ira, whom shall I fear? Adonai Chayaz, he's my strength and my life. To whom shall I be afraid? Echad. So, God is my light. He is my Savior. Who should I be afraid of? That's what it asks you in the beginning. Then, as Israel is going through their struggles, the very end says this of this verse. Verse 14. Kaveh Adonai. What it says? Wait on the Lord, okay? Kaveh God, Yad He Vav He. Kaveh, wait on him. But the word kaveh is not like lechakot, like I'm waiting for in the dentist's office for my appointment. You're waiting, but kaveh means to wait with great expectation, okay? So he's telling the Jewish people, don't just wait on me. Wait with expectations, with great expectations of something good happening. You understand? So I know this. Adonai ori ve'ishi, mimi echad. Who shall I be afraid of? And I'm going to go to the end of it and said, I'm going to convey Hashem, or the God of heaven. I'm going to convey. I'm going to wait with great expectation because I know you already planned a rapture. I know that it's been confirmed throughout Scripture. Mm-hmm. And even if I haven't been able to figure it out yet, but you've led me with this beautiful carrot. And you know what that carrot's done for us? It made us learn the Bible.
Yeah.
That's what it did. The rapture for me made me learn the Bible. Because there's no way I want to go. I had to learn Hebrew. Then through learning Hebrew, I learned typologies. And through typologies, I learned numerology. I mean, not numerology, but gematria. And all of this stuff taught me the Bible better. So I can never be mad at God, because what you did was lead me on a journey to learn who you are. Okay? And now you're saying, kaveh, wait on me with great expectations.
Yeah.
Praise God. And that's the study for today. If you can go back and get some of that, what I would say, look it up, because it's beautiful. Okay. We're going to pray out. Do I need to give them any instructions, Pastor Ben?
No, sir. I think we see.
Yeah, we're pretty much straight. Carrie, I need to call you. So when I get out of here, if you're watching right now, you can call me. But I'm going to try to call you after me and Daryl eat some good chicken sandwiches from the Christian chicken place. Yeah, and then we'll talk because he just found it, Carrie.
This morning,
okay. So let's pray out with my new Bible. I do not. Thank you guys for all of your cards, all of your letters. Pastor Ben asked me, do I have them filed? I have all of them, but I don't have them filed. But I have everything that was ever sent to me. Even this little card here. There used to be a card. I cut it out and put it on it. What does it say? It says, for a guy who is the real deal. And then I said, well, that was a card for me, but that I'm not the real deal. So I put Yeshua underneath Amen. It, right? He's the real deal. So praise God. Let's pray out. And we're going to pray out because this is a Hebrew club in the commandment that God gave to Moses. And God said to Moses, when you bless my people, say to them this, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Va'yair Adonai panavilecha v'chunecha. Yi'aseh Adonai panavilecha v'yasem l'chai shalom. Shalom, everybody. Glad to see you back. And praise God, we will talk the next week at this class and on Wednesday night Bible study. God bless you. Shalom. Li'itriot be'shavu chaba.
Amen.
That's it. Seum?